Blog Talk Radio.
I'm gonna make a change for once in my life. Gonna feel real good. Gonna make a difference. Gonna make it right. As I turn up the collar on my favorite winter coat, this wind is blowing my mind. I see the kids in the street with not enough to eat. Who am I to be blind, pretending not to see them eat? I saw a disregard, a broken bottle top, and a one-man show. They follow each other on the wind, you know, 'cause they got nowhere to go. That's why I know what you just know. I'm starting with the man in the mirror. I'm asking him to change his ways. And no, nothing's gonna bend any clever. If you wanna make the world a better place, take a look at yourself and then make a change.
You got to do it.
peace and love to everyone. Thank you for joining us tonight. This is Pamela Tyler's Enlightenment at the Initiative Radio Network. Tonight we had to reschedule our program because we had was scheduled her son named Muhammad, the lawyer, but she would not be able to join us tonight. We will have to reschedule her. But nevertheless, we have a great show tonight. We're going to listen to the time of what must be done by our beautiful minister, Louis Farrakhan. So therefore, you can listen in. If you have any questions, you may submit those or call in, and we will start the program and talk to you as we are. Yes. For the program. So let me go to our show. Well, and I will go to a commercial first. Then we will come back and start the show on with that. Thank you.
God provides, so why do I worry about my life? When you come to my rescue 1,000 times, every other voice it is a lie. God provides, God provides, in ways I can't explain and can't deny. The little that I have, He multiplies. Just when I feel He won't show up on time, God provides. He'll come through when the clouds of doubt rain down on you and test everything you thought you knew. Now you finally see what God can do for you. So tonight, close your eyes, there's no more need to fight. Watch God provide. God provides. It's hard to say when there's no food to eat, or what you see feels all that life will be. And will this be another year of misery for me? But my faith can't survive on just things I see.
Okay, thank you. We were listening to our beautiful sister, Tamara. I love that song. But the show is about to begin. So, like I said, therefore, if anyone have any questions, I would want to call in. I will stop the lecture, and we can talk about what we've heard through the lecture. We also can, tonight, subject will be the time of what must be done. What do we think we should be done at this time with the new administration of the president? You know, there's a lot of things going on that definitely concerns everyone. So therefore, you know, you can call in and we can discuss that. But in the meantime, we will be playing the lecture by Mr. Louis Farrakhan, and it is called The Time and What Must Be Done, Part 1.
from around the globe, in sold-out arenas, and humble churches, from out on the streets, to your screen. And now, the time and what must be done, part one. On this edition of Farrakhan Speaks.
Greetings to you. I am Louis Farrakhan, the national representative of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, the eternal leader of the Nation of Islam and the great preacher of freedom, justice, and equality to black people in America and oppressed people throughout the earth, and a great warner to America and the nations of the earth. It is a great honor, a great privilege, and a great pleasure for us to come to you via radio or television or social media to bring to you a very, very timely message. The title of this message, starting in January 2013, will carry through for the whole year. And that title was given to us by the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, The Time and What Must Be Done. This is a great subject, and each of us who are viewing this telecast or this radio broadcast has something that you and I must do in order to escape the consequences of the time. There is a verse or surah or chapter in the Quran that I shall quote as the basis for this year-long subject. It reads, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, in the name of Allah, the Beneficent, the Merciful. By the time, surely man is in loss except those who believe and do good, and enjoin one another to truth, and enjoin one another to patience. In this Quranic chapter, time is a yardstick of measurement of consequence. By the time, surely man is in loss. So the time will determine whether we lose, whether we win, whether we live, or whether we die, whether we suffer privation, or whether we grow in prosperity. It all depends on what we do with the knowledge of the time. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us that we're not dealing with time with the solar system. We're dealing with the time of a people and a civilization whose time has come to an end. This civilization started, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and as it is written in the book of Genesis in the Bible, 4,000 B.C., 6,000 years ago. This is not the origin of our solar system or the origin of our world. This is the origin of a people who would bring to the earth a new civilization, but a civilization contrary to the nature of God and the nature in which the universe and the original people of the earth are created. This civilization started with a man named Adam. Many scholars say there are many, many, many Adams. Some scholars of Islam say there are 50,000 Adams, but we're dealing with the Adam that brought in this new world. He's not an original man. He's a made man from the original. And that is why the Bible says, "Let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and give them power and dominion over the fowl of the air, the fish of the sea, and every creeping thing that crawls upon the earth." Well, who is the us from which a new man was made? The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, and scientists bear witness, that the us are the pre-Adamites. And the pre-Adamites are the aboriginal people of the earth. The aboriginal people are the dark people of the earth, the black man and woman of the earth, from which every species of human being has come. Let us make man in our image and after our likeness. But after they were made, they were given power and dominion to rule over that which they came from. So in the Bible it is written, children are their oppressors and women rule over them. Children meaning a new people on our planet. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad has taught us, and the scholars and scientists bear witness, that this new people are the Caucasian people. They're on our planet. They were given a season to rule and to dominate, but not to rule with righteousness, but to rule with other than righteousness. And that rule was going to be for 6,000 years. Unfortunately for them, they caused trouble in the Holy Land after they were made, and they were driven out of the Holy Land of Arabia into the hills and cave sides of Europe, where they spent 2,000 years, and they went completely savage, even losing the knowledge of themselves. Well, it took them 2,000 years of lost time, but they had 4,000 more years to rule, to live, to dominate everything, every people on our planet. But they could not dominate until God raised a prophet for them. And that prophet was a man named Moses or Musa. Musa came to them, but they were in an horrific condition, on their all fours, in the hills and cave sides of Europe. They didn't know how to cook their food. They didn't know how to bury their dead. They were in a terrible condition. They were ugly and terrible to look at. The Bible says it like this: as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so shall the Son of Man be lifted up. Europe was a place that was wild and uncultivated, savage. And it is written in the Quran that it was the dog that befriended the dwellers in the cave. And at the mouth of the cave, there was the dog. And I would imagine that this is why it is said by them that the dog is man's best friend. Well, you have domesticated the dog, and it surely is a great friend of man, but the greatest friend of true man is God himself. So Moses had a hard job to civilize the cave dwellers. He had to stand them up from a crawling position. He had to put a board in their back so that they would be upright. He had to teach them how to cook their food, how to bury their dead. And after Moses taught them and civilized them, he gave them two ways. As the Bible says, I have set before you two ways, one of life and one of death. Choose life, that you and your seed might live. Well, when someone is given two alternatives, then they're in the valley of decision. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the father of the white race, a great black scientist by the name of Yaqub, he was not an evil scientist, but he was a magnificent scientist who was born 20 miles outside of the holy city of Mecca in Arabia, and he studied the life germ of the black man and found in it a brown germ. And he learned how to separate that brown germ from the black germ and drive it into its last stage through a system of birth control. And out of that system of birth control, it took 200 years on the island of Pilon, called in the book of Revelation the island of Patmos. Took 200 years to make a brown civilization, and another 200 years to make a yellow civilization, and the last stage was white. Well, many are asking, how is this a myth? Is this some tale? Why should we believe a myth? No. The reality is the Caucasians are present on our planet. They are not natural or native to any part of our earth. But they had a great work to do, believe it or not, even though it was a work in rebellion to the natural and divine laws of God, yet God permitted it because without their work, God would not come out of his hiding place at the end of their season of rule and choose a people that they had destroyed mentally and spiritually and morally and were in the process of destroying them physically. And then God came and interceded in the affairs of that suffering people. The scriptures teach us God's coming is after the working of Satan. So this mind that was present from Genesis to Revelation is a satanic mind. What makes it a satanic mind? Well, Adam rebelled after getting divine instruction directly from the mouth of God. He was told, you may eat of the fruit of all of the trees in this garden, except this one in the midst of the garden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. After having direct instructions from God. Adam was deceived by Satan of himself. You know how it is when someone tells you not to do something, you're intrigued by that command not to do, and then you adventure out to do exactly what you were commanded not to do. That's in the human makeup. We are by nature inquisitive. And so when our parents instruct us, I don't want you to go here, I don't want you to go there, I don't want you to play with this one or that one, usually we end up doing the very thing that we were told not to do. But there are always consequences for rebellion. And the greatest consequences of all are when we are given a direct order from God himself, and then we choose to disobey. Adam chose to disobey. So the scripture says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death came also by sin. All have sinned, so death has passed to all men. Remember our subject now, it's the time. And what must be done? Well, of the 6,000 years, we have already lost 2,000 for the made man in the hills and cave sides of Europe. But Musa came and taught them some of the forgotten technology of their father, Yaqub. But he also taught them the righteousness of the Torah. Now they had to choose which one are you going to use as a guide for your life. If you choose the righteousness of the Torah, then you will live. You will escape that which comes at the end of the 6,000 years of your rule. But if you choose to follow the tricks and lies of Yaqub, then there will be an end to that world of evil, and there will be an end to that people who are called Satan that has deceived the entire world. So from Moses, you had 1,700 years of people trying to live by the law of Moses. But after 1,700 years, 300 years before the birth of Jesus, a man named Nimrod was born. And Nimrod broke the civilization of Moses and sent the people into the greatest form of rebellion. And that means that when Jesus came, he came into a world of total darkness and rebellion to the word, will, and way of God. Now, Jesus was 2,000 years too soon to bring about an end to the civilization of wickedness. Jesus came to the Jews, and unfortunately, they rejected him. He came to guide the Jewish people back to the good path of Moses, but he was rejected. And when he learned that he was 2,000 years too soon to set up the kingdom of God, he decided to give his life for the truth that he taught. But Jesus talked about one coming after him. He said one would come, but would come in his name. He would verify the truth that Jesus taught. But that one that would come after the working of Satan would come to end the world
of Satan and end the dominion and power of the rule of those who followed Satan. You know, brothers and sisters, it's very interesting in the church, particularly the Catholic Church, they talk about original sin. Original sin that the Catholics believe is born into the nature of the human being. You're right, but you're wrong. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said, original sin is born into the nature of the made man who rebelled against God. But the nature of the original man is obedience to the will of God. And this is why the Holy Quran teaches us that every human being is by nature a Muslim, born in the nature of submission to the will of God, all except the rebellious devil. Well, the time and what must be done. You will have a chance, I will have a chance, we will have a chance after getting the true knowledge of the time and what the time is demanding of us to be done if we don't want to be losers in this time. And then that puts all of us who hear this knowledge of the time and what must be done in the valley of decision. Now we must decide, because the man like Moses that was prophesied in both the Bible and Quran is on scene today. He comes out of a savage people. That people is styled in the Bible as a lost sheep, styled in the Bible as the children of Israel, styled in the Bible as mentally, morally, and spiritually dead, rejected, and despised. So as the people went into a cave-like existence until Moses came to get them up out of that existence, the Son of Man would also be in a condition similar, and God would have to come and do a great service, stand up a human being that was crawling after the similitude of the beasts of the field, a human being that lost the knowledge of self and was living the life of a beast. Well, the Bible in the book of Revelation, as well as in the book of Daniel, talks about four beasts. It's not really talking about animals, a lion, a leopard, a bear. No, no, no. It's talking about nations that have become like beasts. As the beast preys upon weak things and devours the weak to live, it has no moral consciousness. So these four great beasts have devoured human beings on our planet, devoured their nations, devoured their resources, and have preyed upon the weak of the world. The Western world has done this to all the darker people of the earth after they came out of the hills and cave sides of Europe. There in Europe, they went into darkness again. Remember the tribes that were in Europe, all of these tribes that were fighting and killing each other in their savagery. Yet they were one people, but different ethnicities of that one people. And there in Europe, they came together, tribes. They formed England, tribes formed France. Tribes formed Germany. Tribes formed Russia. Tribes formed the European community. But even then, they needed to be awakened. And so after Muhammad came, peace be upon him, 6 centuries after Jesus, in the year 570 AD, Muhammad was born. And Muhammad and his followers brought the light of Islam to Europe. And that light from Muhammad and his followers caused the Renaissance of Europe. And then the Europeans came out of the confines of Europe. As the Bible says, they would be confined there for another 1,000 years. But after that 1,000 years, they would be let loose on the earth. And after that 1,000 years, bringing us up to about 500 years ago, the Europeans came out of Europe after fighting 100 years war among themselves. They came out of Europe and went into the Western Hemisphere, and they captured the native people. And then they brought our fathers out of Africa into the Western Hemisphere, not to be citizens, but to be the burden bearers of the citizens of this brand new Western world. Those of us that were brought to the Caribbean, others were brought into Central and South America, but the worst treatment was afforded to that black man and woman that was brought to the shores of what is now called the United States of America. The first black people to arrive, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us, it was not in 1619, as the historians tell us, but he said, and history bears witness, it was in the year 1555 by an English trader named John Hawkins or John Hopkins. And that English trader brought us here, the first slaves, on a ship named Jesus. When the ship went back to get more slaves, the slaves would wander down to the shores looking for that ship. And they would say, "You can have all this world. Just give me that ship, Jesus, that would take me back to our native land and people." But little did those slaves know that it would be 4 centuries before the real ship, Jesus, God in person, would come after them to deliver them from the bondage of their oppressors. Well, here we are, the time and what must be done. Now we are 2,000 years from Jesus. We are at the 6,000 year. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad taught us that the time of this world was up in the year 1914. But an extension of time was given by God as a grace period, because during that time, God would come and raise up from among the oppressed a messenger from himself, and he would give that messenger guidance and wisdom and warning for America, and he would give that messenger the knowledge of the time and what must be done. Well, that has happened. The Son of Man has come, as it is written, In the book of Matthew, the 24th chapter, it reads, "As lightning shineth out of the east unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. For wheresoever the carcass is, there shall the eagles be gathered together." America is that place. And the black people in America are the sons of men that have been killed mentally by 310 years of chattel slavery, where our names, our language, our culture, our history, our religion, and our God were stripped from us. And our original parents were killed so that they would never be able to teach us our names, our language, and give us our religion. Go and study what Alex Haley found out when Alex Haley was writing for Reader's Digest. He interviewed the Honorable Elijah Muhammad and he interviewed Malcolm X. And Malcolm told him that our original fathers were Muslims. They were not swinging in trees with bones in their noses. No. Those of you who are listening to this, those of you who are watching this, white and black, you know that we were some of the highest learned people of the world at that time. When we were brought to America, we were skilled in science. Who built the mansions of the South for the slave master? It was not you. It was we. Who cooked your food? Who sewed the garments for the mistress of the house? It was we who did that. Why, we took the burlap that you dressed our fathers in and made garments out of it for ourselves and our children. This horrible mistreatment of black people must be accounted for. You have destroyed an entire people, yet the God of mercy has come and offered us a way to get out of the prophesied doom, or to get an extension of time. Unfortunately, the only people in the Bible that got an extension of time from the prophesied destruction was the people of Nineveh under the call of Jonah. No wonder the Bible says, "This wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, but no sign shall be given except the sign of Jonah. As Jonah was in the belly of the whale 3 days and three nights, so shall the Son of Man be in the heart of the earth 3 days and three nights." That great one who was to come did come. He came under many names, but after 3 years being among us, from 1930 to 1934, he gave us his real name. He said, "My name is W.F. Muhammad. I came to North America by myself." It is written of him in the book of Isaiah that he looked around for someone to help him, but there was no one to help him, so his own right hand, it upheld him. And the Bible says of him that his hand was not too short to save, nor his arm. He came to seek and to save and to deliver that which was lost. The Bible refers to the black man and woman of America and the Western Hemisphere as a lost sheep. Now, Alex Haley, after hearing that his original fathers were Muslims, he set out on a journey to discover himself. And he found himself in the Gambia, in the village of Jufre, in the Gambia. And he found that his original fathers, named Kunta Kinte, they were Muslims. So when our fathers used to sing that song, "Give me that old time religion, the religion of Daniel, the religion of Abraham, the religion of Moses, the religion of Jesus, give me that old time religion," it was good enough for them. It's good enough for you and me. Well, what was that old time religion? Oh, brothers and sisters, it's obedience to God. You may call it what you will, but Abraham, the father of Muslims, Christians, and Jews, was chosen to be the friend of God because he obeyed God in all that the Almighty had asked him to do. Obedience to God is the true religion of God. So when you know the knowledge of the time and what must be done, then you will be required to make a decision. Shall I obey man? Shall I follow the rebellious way that we have been taught? Or shall I follow the guidance of a divinely guided messenger of God that he gave us for this time? Well, what is the condition of the modern sons of men? Here we are in the ghettos of America, almost on our all fours. We are rejected by civilized society and despised. Oh, I'm not talking about the few who are somewhat educated, but trained in the way of their former slave masters and their children. I'm talking about the masses of our people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said to us, "No one man can rise above the condition of his people." We have a black president. We're proud that one of us has been selected and elected to that high post. But he cannot escape being a member of a people who are despised, rejected, lost. Lost in this sense means incorrigible. Lost in this sense means we cannot be healed from our condition. Scholars and scientists look at the condition of black people and say they're hopeless, they're lost, they're incorrigible, no one can correct them. And then the worst description is we are dead. We have eyes, but we cannot see. We have ears, but we cannot hear. We have a tongue, but we cannot speak a truth that has not entered our ears and our hearts. Blind, deaf, and dumb at the mercy of our former slave masters and their children, the sons of men, in a cave-like condition. This beautiful country called the United States of America is yet referred to in the Bible as a wilderness. As Europe was a wilderness, no cities, no towns, just caves and savages and wild beasts. Today in America, we have some of the most beautiful cities in the world. The greatest road system, infrastructure, though it needs help to be revived, bridges, skyscrapers. So we can't say that this is a wilderness like ancient Europe was, but this is a wilderness in that the first four letters of the word wilderness is wild. And that which is wild, untamed, uncivilized, uncultured, unrefined, that's the American way of life. A savage people, brutal. More jails than any nation on this earth, more prisoners in prison than any nation on this earth, more weapons in the hands of the American people than other nations of the earth. This nation has been built on violence. Uncivilized, uncultivated, brutal, wild, berserkers. And that's why the prophet gave America one of those names of a beast, both in the book of Daniel and in the book of Revelations. But God has come, and he has given us the knowledge of the time and what must be done. You know, when our fathers went down to the shores of Virginia and wanted that ship, Jesus, to take them back to their native land and people, the scriptures of the Bible says, by the rivers of Babylon, we wept when we remembered Zion. Those who carried us away captive, those who wasted us, required of us mirth. And those who carried us away captive required of us a song, saying, sing us one of those songs of Zion. And the answer came back, how can I sing the Lord's song in a strange land? We are called citizens mockingly because we are not given the rights and privileges of the white citizens of this country. Our poor people are fighting every day for justice. Even the trained lawyers who have learned law and stand in a court to fight for justice for any member of our race that feels that they need justice. The judges look at that lawyer, the juries look at that lawyer, and oftentimes our lawyers cannot get justice for us. Our black lawyers, though they've presented their case with skill and great acumen, the nerve of them to show that they can use their enemy's law to bring justice to those deprived. Then the enemy looks at them, and regardless of the wisdom of their fight for justice, the verdict comes back not in the favor of our people deprived of justice. Wisdom coming to an uncultivated, savage people. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad asked us the question, why did Musa or Moses have a hard time to civilize Caucasian people in the hills and cave sides of Europe? And the answer is because they were savage. And we can ask that question and answer it again today. Why is it so hard to reform our people, to transform them from the mind of savage behavior forced upon us by the miseducation that we have been under for the last 150 years? In this city of Chicago, over 400 lives have been lost this year. Men killing men, boys killing boys, women killing men. Murder is the order of the day. This is a savage place, and so God had to come to begin the transformation of our lives. The scripture says, be ye not conformed to this world. Be ye transformed by the renewing of our minds. We're living in that time now that the message of truth will begin to renew our minds. Our minds have to be renewed. We must come out of the way of rebellion that was taught to us. This is why the Bible said we were born in sin and shaped in iniquity. The institutions that have served as stewards over our lives and the lives of the American people, they're not the best institutions. Now, the Pope himself is in an argument with those who want same-sex marriage. There was a time when the Pope could give a word and people would say, we got to consider what His Holiness has said. But today, they are arguing with the Pope because they don't agree that same-sex marriage is against the will of God, against the word of God, against the way of God. The time and what must be done. Soon, in our other broadcasts coming up, we're going to go into this time, all of the elements of time. We talk today about the intervals of time from the beginning of the white race to today, 6,000 years after. The time was up, 1914, World War I, 1914, all of Europe went to war with self. World War II, 1941, Japan attacked America, but we will get into this more. Japan was goaded into such an attack, but the whole world was involved in war. And after the Second World War, we never called it a war again. Korea came up. That was a police action. Vietnam came up. It was a civil war between North and South Vietnam where America intervened. All of these things have led us to the horror of this present moment in time. And if America continues on the path that America is on, we will soon be in the most dreaded of all wars, World War III. And in that war, the end of this world will be completed. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad pointed out to us the people of Noah, the people of Lot. When the people and their wickedness had come to an end before God brought down his judgment, he sent Noah to preach to the people, to build an ark that the people who would be saved would get on that ark and escape that flood. Noah preached for 150 years. It didn't make any difference. The people rebelled. The Honorable Elijah Muhammad said the flood waters washed away all of those people. The flood waters destroyed their libraries, the books that had been written of their events, so that those ways of that people would never again be learned. And the Bible says, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the coming of the Son of Man. And it was the same in Sodom and Gomorrah. The time had come for that behavior of the Sodomites to come to an end. And so Lot was given the mission to preach to the people of Sodom and Gomorrah and call them out of a behavior that was considered an abomination in the eyes of Almighty God Allah. The Holy Quran speaks of that people and asks the question, what is this? Men coming to men with lust in their hearts as they would a female. Well, today, the wickedness of the people of Noah have gone to the ends of the earth. And the ways of Sodom and Gomorrah has gone to the ends of the earth. And America and Europe are championing now that way that is against what God has laid down as guidance for the righteous. Even the Western world is trying to get Africa in order to get loans to come away from any talk about homosexuality in a negative sense. And nations that need loans, you must agree to same-sex marriage. This is the mind of Satan. He's doing everything in his power to tempt us to go down to hell with him. But in this broadcast and the broadcasts that follow, by the grace of God, we will make God clear, we will make Satan clear, and then you have to make your decision. Will you obey God, or will you follow Satan into the doom of this present world? There are things that all of us now will have to do. So in this broadcast, in the months and weeks ahead, America, you have something to do to escape the execution that God has planned for you. I don't say this with joy in my heart. I live in this country. I have no other country to go to, although we in the Nation of Islam are citizens in every Muslim country on this earth. However, we live here. We suffered here. We have no joy in preaching doom. We have hope in preaching salvation and for America to do that which is right. Well, what is it that God wants you to do that is absolutely right? He came out of the East to save that which was brought out of the East and made slaves in the West. He wants us to be set free, not to be deceived anymore with false promises, not promising us some of your wealth to be near to you. God wants to separate us from you, as it is written in the scriptures. He wanted to separate the children of Israel from Pharaoh and his people. He wanted to separate those in the caves from the condition of that cave and give them wisdom and make of them a great people. Well, you have become, white America, a great people. Your wisdom has brought you to conquering earth, water, space, and even time. You have become a great people from a very ugly, sad existence. Now, God that brought you up is here to bring us up out of a similar condition. Don't look down on us in our condition and refuse to help us. Look at your own condition and how God helped you to come up out of your condition, and know that it is not impossible for the black man and woman of America and the Western Hemisphere to come out of the condition that slavery and injustice has imposed upon us. I have enjoyed this moment with you, knowing that time is coming to an end for this broadcast, but by the grace of God, we'll be back again for another hour. Please tune in. Tell your friends, your neighbors, and if there's a question that you would like to ask of me, you'll find I will answer you on Twitter. And to my young brothers and sisters in the nation, take some of what I said and put it on Facebook and spread it to your friends. Let's create a dialogue on the time and what must be done. Thank you for listening, and may Almighty God Allah grant to each of you the light of understanding as I greet you in peace in the Arabic language. Assalamu alaikum.
Brothers and sisters, please log on again next week and every week this year for the time and what must be done. Tell your friends, tell your family. Log on to noi.org every Saturday, 6 p.m. Central Time, for truth, guidance, and unequaled love from the National Representative of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad and the Nation of Islam, the Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan. Pass on the word every Saturday at 6 p.m. Central Time at noi.org. The time and what must be done.
Okay, thank you. This is the Initiative Radio Network, and I am Sister Kamala K. Muhammad. We were listening to our beloved Minister Farrakhan on a series that he had about 2 years ago, if I'm not mistaken. It was called The Time and What Must Be Done. It was part one, where he has, like, I believe, 58 parts. And if you're interested and would like to learn more about it, you can go to youtube.com and pull them up, or you can go to findacall.com store and order those lectures. We have approximately about, give or take, 15 to 18 minutes. If anyone would like to make a comment or ask a question, or on what, you know, the minister had discussed, and or what did you think we should be doing during this, the time and what must be done, what are your thoughts on it? So if you have any questions or comment, you can definitely push one, and I will gladly bring you in. I love that lecture. It's very, very informative, and no matter how many times I've heard it, that's always something that then I learn more. So don't ever just listen to a lecture once and think that you've got it all. Just believe me, it goes, you learn more the more you listen to it. And so with that, I'm going to digress, and we're going to bring in caller 2285.
Assalamu alaikum.
Assalamu alaikum. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing pretty good. Fine by the grace of Allah. How about yourself?
Yeah. I'm doing great, praise be to Allah. Yes, sir. What did you
yes,
think
ma'am.
Of the... go ahead, brother. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was beautiful. Expressed that we need to take this world serious, and we also need to take the kind of mind that Allah wants us to have serious.
Yes.
We are not going to be able to have this kind of consciousness, this world's consciousness, and you know some of the antics. We're not going to be able to be saved. We are not going to
mm-hmm.
have any protection from Allah if we don't implement what the Honorable Elijah Muhammad has advocated for us and has updated for us through his student now. So if we are not advocating these things, I mean, we're just in a bind. And what came
mm-hmm.
to me, what came to me is that we are the microcosm, and we affect the macrocosm. Our people are by nature, our people are trendy. We've been that way because of, you know, we've been that way even when we were in tribes in Africa. We follow each other's customs and trends. The new custom and the new trend that our people must follow is the example by those who say they believe. The believers are going to have to identify each other in the
yes,
midst
sir.
Of hypocrites and disbelievers. They are going to have to start unifying in the midst of the what you would say the wheat and the tare. The wheat
yes, sir.
Are going to have to start recognizing who they are
mm-hmm.
because they're going to have to start unifying and actually doing what their leader instructs them to do, regardless of the obstacles. They are going to have to take us. The believers are going to have to take a stand. The Honorable Minister Louis Farrakhan has given us too many holdback meetings where we have been warned that a change must take place internally. And that is because the minister has a broader vision. He knows that if we can correct what's going on with us, we will attract our people from the outside. Our people are waiting on us to change. They are not moved by rhetoric. Our people are moved by action. And so when our believing people get fed up in the Nation of Islam, our believers, the true believers, are suffering because they have to deal with some of the ignorance that's taking place within the confines of their, I want to say, in the nesting place where we are being birthed and where we are being nurtured. You know, it's kind of like you got a baby, a bad child, and you snatch the bottle out of the baby, you know, and he's had his bottle, and you want to snatch his brother's bottle out of his mouth or beat on. You've seen babies beat on other babies, you know, whether they be siblings or whether they just
okay.
be you know, children that are amongst
mm-hmm.
each other, you know, it's always a few bad seeds. And
mm-hmm.
if we recall the teachings of the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, ain't that how we got in this mess? Someone identified a negativity amongst us? So that problem
Absolutely.
Is still there. That problem is still
mm-hmm.
there. So now we must use this knowledge and say, no more. We know the teachings now. We know that there is a capacity to be negatively or have an inclination that's negative amongst us, and we have those who are so, you know, that are righteous amongst us. So let us now identify that, and now let's go after it. Let's make a trend in the nation of Islam that as soon as we spot someone turning someone away who is a registered a believer who wants to come back, and you're using, what's your spirit behind using the protocol? What's your spirit behind you coming to this person and say, well, brother, have you met with the captain? Or have you talked? What's your spirit behind it? Regardless if you're correct in following a procedure, what's your spirit behind that? Where is it that you can't discern? Where's your love that you're saying, oh, there's a brother, I haven't seen him in 5 years. There's a sister, we haven't seen her in 7 years. Brother, open wide the gates. Don't say nothing to him. Leave him alone. Bring him in. Pick him up by his bootstraps. You know what I'm saying? Fluff the sister's hijab. And let's welcome him. Let's get this love back going on. Because the love, the energy of that love will be so contagious that we'll get, we'll begin to reflect that. And that will begin to affect the outside. The outside will start seeing the progress because it's stagnating our business growth. It's stagnating some of the inventions that some of the believers come up with that get turned away because someone says, "Oh, you have to meet with this person," and then that next person says, "Oh, you got to meet with the well. Did you talk to?" And before you know it, the person is discouraged. But not, you know, I'm not, this is y'all panel. This ain't my panel. I just want to close with this. As soon as we get ourselves together, that's when the people will be affected because they will see us leading by example. They will see us leading by example. We are not following this man. We're not following this man. We're not following him. We're not listening to him. We're not doing, we are, when he says to us, I don't want you to clap, I want you to think. That's exactly what we're doing. We are clapping today, and we are not thinking, and we're not moving on that thinking. This man is not playing with us. He's serious as a heart attack, and we're just sitting there enjoying him. We're admiring him, and we're happy to be in his company. And I'm talking about believers, because even believers make mistakes. But our problem is that we are not effectively dealing and questioning one another. Why don't we have this? Why aren't we doing this? Why aren't you shopping with sister so-and-so when you know she's baking the bread? This should be made mandatory. We should have a list. We can show do the Savior's Day list because we've made that into a competition, but we can't sit up and say, can you show me where you've registered your weekly grocery shopping with this brother's store or that brother's barbershop? Where'd you get your hair cut today, brother? You didn't go to your barber here on 73rd Street or on Brooklyn Boulevard in New York or Philadelphia? What's going on? Believers not even shopping with one another, knowing that brothers and sisters got products. We should be rich. I watched the Somalians. I lived in a Somalian community. They empower each other. They enrich each other. They got money. They can make decisions and moves obediently with continuity. They don't go to Kroger. They don't go. You don't find them in Jewels. You don't find them in Publix. You find them shopping in their stores, getting fast food from their people. This is what we have to make this mandatory. We have, the Nation of Islam has got to take a clamp down on following the teachings. We gotta check with people. What are you doing? How do you spend? We need a captain or somebody that can have somebody appointed to overlook the actions of the people that say they believe and show up to this mosque every Sunday, every Wednesday, every Friday, and every Monday. Just as a religious person, you can go back to church with that. We are the Nation of Islam, and we have to start practicing nationalism. That, the people on the outside will see that. But you're only going to get that when you get when you give the hypocrite and the disbeliever a hard time.
Yes, sir. Yes,
praise
sir.
Be to thank Allah.
You.
Thank you, man.
Thank you so much for your comment, brother. Thank you so much. And
yes,
please
ma'am.
Come again. We definitely appreciate
yes,
you.
As-salamu alaykum.
Wa alaykum as-salam. Okay, if anyone else has a comment or a question, then please switch one, and I would definitely bring you right on in. We have a couple of minutes to, you know, answer or make a comment, ask a question. And, you know, it, we definitely have to, you know, definitely support each other, like the brother said, to build our nation. It starts with us. And so with that, I'm going to digress and bring in the next caller. As-salamu alaykum.
As-salamu alaykum. Wa alaykum as-salam. How are you?
I'm fine. Thank you, sir. And yes, sir. Okay, brother Maurice. Okay, we have also another caller. I'm just going to open the mic, but you definitely have a beloved director here. May go ahead and make your comment. Yes, sir.
Yes, ma'am. There's two things that I want to say right quick, and then I'll be quiet.
Okay.
First, the Honorable Elijah Muhammad said that they make a mistake by calling the Nation of Islam a nationalist, black nationalist.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that we are not. He said Islam is universal. So we're not nationalists, we're universal. We do have a problem with the way we handle our Islam or the way we follow our instructions. Because as believers, yeah, you should support and, you know, help each other and patronage each other. Now, why that is not going on, I haven't the foggiest idea. That has to be looked in and then pieced apart and then, you know, seeing what's what. But I think you had one question about, you know, if the whole world is deceived, how did the Muslims escape deception? And that's easy,
yes,
because
sir.
Allah came in the person of Master Farah Muhammad, July 4th, 1930.
Mm-hmm.
So
yes.
That's how you escaped deception. You know, with the coming of Master Farah Muhammad is the coming of a new world. It's the coming of a new mindset. It's the coming of a new birth into life. That's why you are called children of the morning. You are called children of the morning because you are a child of this new knowledge that is being taken and given to the people to teach, to bring about a new world order.
Yes.
So that's why, you know, we're not of those who were deceived, because we are of children of the morning. We are of this new new wisdom, as the Honorable Elijah Muhammad liked to say it, the new wisdom. And so we should be happy that we were found and able to carry the weight of that wisdom. Now, are we doing by that wisdom as we should be? And that's another question that has to be answered, you know. And at the end of the day, you know, the person has to answer that themselves. They have to, you know, like the song you played, Man in the Mirror, they got to look at that person in the mirror and assess to themselves who they really are and what they are really about. You know, because at the end of the day, Allah will judge us all. So let us be found doing what's right. Let us be found living as we should. And then all power will be unto you from Allah. That is our power. That's what the minister said. And he said that your righteousness shall what?
Sustain you.
That's what he said. He didn't say Sister Pam righteousness is going to sustain Brother Maurice. He didn't say that. He didn't say Farrakhan righteousness is going to sustain the Nation of Islam. He didn't say that. He didn't say Farrakhan righteousness is going to sustain his children. He didn't say that. He said your righteousness will sustain you. So it all goes back to, you look at that person in the mirror and you measure how you stand up to what you're supposed to believe, how you do your actions as a Muslim, how you behave. Every tub has to stand on its own bottom. And with that, I'll rest my mic. Love you.
Love you too. I'll praise you because it was exactly what I told the brother earlier who had asked that question, that Master Farah Muhammad came to teach us. That's why we can't be deceived or have deception. All praises I definitely do to Allah. Okay, we have I don't know how many minutes that Allah may turn us out, but by the grace of Allah, whoever, I have your mics open, so whoever would like to make a comment, they make one. I believe the next caller was now open, so go for it before the time runs out.
As-salamu alaykum. This is Brother C from Tennessee.
Yes, sir. As-salamu alaykum, Brother C.
Hey, that was my question, you know, because I was thinking, Islam, as I understand it, started around 570 A.D., or that's, I think, and or Muhammad was born in 570 A.D., and so I was wondering, you know, how it was that the whole world was deceived when the world hadn't been deceived yet. And, just the Roman world had been deceived, 200 years after Constantine. And so, when you mentioned, Master Farah, it was like, oh, okay, well, now that would make sense, yeah. And so that kind of erased my question, from that point of view.
Mm-hmm.
But I did want to say something about what the brother was saying about, the economics, My question for the nation is, I think the minister said something about, don't take on any of the oppressors' ways or something along those lines. Mm-hmm. And it's like, capitalism is a part of this oppressive system, in my humble opinion. I think it's the root of the oppression that, a majority of the world, billions of people face every day. And so when dealing with a system that is, an oppressive system, how do we justify, becoming a part of the capitalist social reality?
Can I answer that?
Yes, sir.
Praise be to Allah. Thank you, Brother C. I love those questions, boy, because they get you going. The first thing that I would like to say is that in this world that we are in now, or in this environment that we are in now, in America, the monetary system that they use is capitalism. So as far as, buying and selling, that is what it is. I think, though, the deeper point to your beautiful question that you asked is, why haven't we, with all the things that we know, why haven't we created our own system that we can live off and be fruitful? I think that's the bigger part of it. And again, I'll say this because I've said it many times before, there are different spots in this country, in this country that we're in now, that don't use the monetary system that we use every day. They created their own little money, and in their communities, they value their money by what they say it is. And they do their business amongst themselves. Now, of course, their money can't go outside of the community, but within the community, they buy and do the things that they need to do based on the value that they set. So now it asks us, how do we do that? I've studied this. They have in some of the money got Harriet Tubman face on it. Okay, and that's in one part of the country. They're so good at it. I think it's in Seattle. They're so good that even the local banks will exchange their local currency for that community currency. So they're able to pay their electric bill, they're able to pay their water bill using that currency. And they can go to that particular bank and exchange currency. At the end of the day, when you are fed up with living in the same condition, then we'll be able to change it. See, it takes people who are unafraid to say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to do this, and we're going to do it our way, and then do it. You know, you've seen we had the Nuwabians, and they had their little land in Georgia, and I was down there visiting their little land and seeing what they had, nice land and everything. You know, but they let corruption come in and the enemy come in and take it all out, and that was flop. We've seen that this stuff can be done. We just have to do it our way and be willing to pay the cost, because somebody got to quit their job and move to here. Somebody got to do this. Somebody got to do that. Somebody got to do this. It takes us as a unit to be able to do it, and we will flourish in it. But you got to be bold enough and strong enough and tired of the BS that you say, I'm ready to take that step. That's why I'm out there looking for land so that we can buy together and build. And as I said before, protect what we build. Protect what we build. Everybody, once we build it, everybody not coming in. Because you're going to have the enemy sending people in to destroy what you have. So like I said, we got to have people who know how to question people and see what their motives is and all that. You know, we can do anything we want to do. When you develop the will to want it, then you go after it and you make it so. You go after it and you make it so. We don't have a choice but to begin to do these things. I mean, you just think about it. I was talking with my cousin earlier today, and he was like, you know, once certain people, you know, do certain things, and I'm going to do this and I'm going to do that. You know, in the Muslim, it says that you're not supposed to ask for justice. Well, what does that mean? If somebody killed my child, then justice is I kill you. Okay? Is they going to kill him, or are they going to go to the police and say, hey, this is what happened. I need you to go arrest this person. God's law is one thing, man's law is another. How many of you ready to live God's law versus live man's law? See, because you live man's law, then you really ain't got to worry about no consequence, because you don't think God can touch you while you're living. But when you understand God's law and the power in which that is and begin to walk in it, how could the Honorable Elijah Muhammad put on radio that this person better be dead before the end of the night, or I'm going to discommunicate all you down there? And the man wind up dead, and nobody come to arrest the messenger. Why is that? Because this man walked with God. He knew what his job was, and he wasn't afraid to do it regardless to whom or what. And we have to build each other up like that. And it's a constant thing. It's a constant building, a constant teaching, a constant understanding, and a constant walk in that in order to produce that new heaven that we have the ability to do. And with that, I'm going to rest my mind.
Wow. Absolutely. Beautiful. And I do agree with that. Okay. I'm going to try to be fair here. We have 5237. Would you like to make a comment? Hopefully they'll give us a bit more time. 5237? Or perhaps maybe they just wanted to listen in. Nevertheless, our prayers be to Allah, and thank you so much. I don't know how much time. So if anyone else would like to make a quick comment, then I'll take that and hopefully they won't turn us off in the middle of a comment. But if not, going once, going twice. Okay. Thank you so much for joining.
I do want to add one more thing. I just wanted to say thank you, Brother C, for asking that question. because those questions that you asked are very, very important, and that the people need to understand the answer. And I hope I presented the answer in a succinct way that, you know, people can definitely understand and even build upon what we were talking about. We have to be able to get that message out and to get the understanding. And those who are strong enough to grasp onto it, then let's grasp onto it and do it. And we'll show the ones who are timid, who are afraid, how it can be done. Because everybody needs an example of what it looks like. What does strength look like? What does that courage look like? We all need that in order to go from one stage to the other. So thank you. Thank you.
Thank you. Assalamu alaikum. Thank you for the answer. Oh, go ahead.
Yeah. Assalamu alaikum. I just want to say that I feel like this moment, this panel, I want to thank Allah for the sisters or anyone else who was involved with this panel. I feel like what was said today, we just did it just now. We just started to do it. I feel the spirit of everybody that came on this panel that had something to say, their spirit was in line. All of our spirits were in line with each other. We're all saying the same thing. All praise is due to Allah for this moment, because this moment, I believe, is going to spark that spirit and that mindset. We will start seeing this. I believe that this is a cry out, because I was very emotional about what I said. So this is a concern, and this is it's also an Ingram. So it is something that even that needs to be resolved, and I'm crying out things that I've heard from other believers. So we all, there's a lot of us with Ingram that we want to be left alone, and so we can practice our teachings and practice what the messenger gave us. And it's an internal situation that has to stop. There are people that are playing with Islam. There are people that are fadding, and there are people that are extracting monies off the nation because it's a livelihood.
Exactly.
It's really interfering with the kind of progress that would put a smile on Master Farah Muhammad's face. And definitely, when was the last time we saw the leader smile because of our progress or what we did? You know, we don't make him smile very much, you know, because he's not seeing any, he's not seeing a lot of improvement. We've got some great ones, but as a whole mass of people, there needs to be larger numbers of success, and he really needs to be proud. You know what I'm saying? We're not making this man proud. We're not making him proud, and so we just got to go beyond, you know, just being there, because we're putting up with, you know, some things that we know that we see. So it's just time to really come together. I know the minister has tried to make adjustments many a times, but we got to help this man. He can't be in 4, 5, 15 different thousand cities at one time, you know. So
that's right.
He needs help. He needs our help. We must become little Farrakhans within the Nation of Islam. We must become little Elijahs and Master Farah Muhammad's in there, and let's make the adjustments that I know that all of them, all three of them, will back us, and they'll
That's
be
right.
proud of us.
Yes, sir. Right. This is the night. This is the beginning. So therefore, you brothers can exchange numbers. And let's get it started. I'll pray to definitely do
right. Praise be to Allah. All right,
yes,
sir. Assalamu alaikum. My number is 773-225-2285. I am Brother Kenneth Yusuf Shabazz.
Yes, sir. I'm going to put your number down here. Thank you so much.
All right. All right.
All right. Thank
my
you,
number
you.
Is...
Yes, ma'am.
615-578. 615-578-2872, Brother Maurice B. Muhammad.
Right.
One more time, brother.
615-578-2872, Maurice B. Muhammad.
All right. Thank you, brother.
Yes, sir. Thank you, beloved.
Yes, sir. Lava Lake.
Lake Flan.
Okay. Well, Bishop, our prayers definitely do too. Allow me to thank everyone for joining us, Brother Steve, Brother Ken, of course, Brother Maurice, and all the listeners that was listening. Thank you so much for that question that you submitted. And with that, thank you. This is Sister Pamela. This program is called Pamela Patterson Enlightenment from the Initiative Radio Network. And with that, all praise be to Allah. Happy Savior's Day. Peace and love to everyone.
Peace and love.
I may have gotten that number wrong, but I know Pamela was correct. Pamela's the one that's next. She's on my Facebook.